503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
And it is deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say. A new survey released by the Public Policy Institute of California shows nearly half of California voters favor temporarily extending the Prop 30 taxes set to expire in the spring of 2018. The survey also found that nearly 66% of likely voters backed the idea of boosting taxes on cigarettes. A recent report shows that tobacco use in California fell by more than 50% since 1988, and that is good news. As we here on the 503 Report reported last month, California's Prop 30, officially titled Temporary Taxes to Fund Education, is set to expire in the spring of 18. Governor Brown, the champion of that, has stressed that it is temporary and it should expire in 2016, the taxes how they are written. The original proposal affected earners earning over $250,000 a year and raised the tax for 4 years. The new initiative, of course, entitled the School Funding and Budget Stability Act, would boost income taxes and taxes on couples earning more than $500,000 a year for 12 years, how we reported that. Now, remember the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is a great rule we should all live by. However, the majority of the California voters are opting for a new golden rule: allow the government to never allow the expiration of temporary taxes and letting more taxation in the name of the children be added to the ballot every election cycle. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. It's the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. With me, as always, my good friend over there, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how are you today on this Friday, pal?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm happy I didn't fall off my chair laughing this week when you brought that extension proposition back up. Of course, it's for the kids, as we pounded on just a couple weeks ago when it first hit the airways. And I have to tell you, you know what's deceiving about the Public Policy Institute's recent polling is that they fail, or should we say the press fails, to show that 32% of Californians. So it falls all the way down to 32%. First of all, it's not even 50% of likely California voters at this point in time who are favoring the extension, but only 32% of likely Californian voters actually support having Proposition 30 temporary taxes roll over into permanent status. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voice is heard now on iTunes.
Absolutely, Andrew, and you're absolutely correct on that. And there was a lot of news that came out of Sacramento this week, and we're going to be talking about that throughout the show today. But not wanting to make those temporary. And I know we just talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but the surveys are out, and there's a lot of different things that they want to put on the propositions next year for the California voters out there. And if they keep on getting their message out there the way that they have, we are never going to quit paying taxes here in California. I want to keep my money. I know that most everybody out there wants to. But you keep on voting for these propositions to continue on. First, it's 4 years, 8 years, 12 years. Now let's make it permanent. Let's tax the higher earners out there at $500,000, a lot of them are creating the jobs here in California. Permanently, let's keep on raising the taxes. Governor Brown, a little bit silent on that. He was the champion for Prop 30, as we talked about before. Not talking too much about it out there, but it is crazy, Andy, what is going on. All the money that they continually want to raise, all in the name of the kids and school funding.
Well, look, 2030. The question is, folks, 2030, is that temporary? I mean, that's for a temporary 15 years. I mean, that sounds pretty permanent for some of us still living on this earth today out here in California. Look, it's ridiculous. The bottom line is this propaganda message that we hear from the left that comes out all the time. We're just going to extend it temporarily until 2030. Wake up, California. Listen to exactly what they are trying to advocate. And of course, you know, there's some stunning also news that comes out of that Public Policy Institute out here in California, the recent poll. It shows that 55% of Californians actually favor modifying Proposition 13 when it comes to the commercial real estate and the owners out here as far as valuing and assessing it based on its, I don't know, assessed commercial value. And once again, you know, we're dangerously looking, and it is a slippery, I hate that term, slippery slope. Let's just call it what it is, guys. We're being stupid when it comes to opening up the protections of Proposition 13.
We are, Andrew, and that's been something that we're going to talk about with our guest on the bottom of the show, because he was around when Prop 13 was passed. He was a member of the legislature back then. But boy, they have been attacking that for almost 40 years, Andrew, just trying to get at it and fight it. It rears its head now and then. You know, we've been in a bad economic cycle for the last decade roughly or so. So every way that they can try and raise money, they're trying to do it, but they're titling it different ways that we've been reporting on for 4 years here.
Hey, look, more polling is coming out of that institute. And look, I mean, something that we've been talking about regularly probably for the last 4 years as far as how we think the Republican message is missing it out here in California. And you know, at the national level a little bit too, but 75% of Californians right now, they like the idea of legal status out here for non-legal immigrants, illegal immigrants out here in California. As long as they pay a fine, as long as they do other requirements, not just giving it, but as long as they meet a criteria. Of course, we promote the non-criminal aspect of it. You know, like, you have to have ties here. You have to be a productive, can't say citizen because you're not a citizen, but you have to be productive in this nation or out here in California in order to receive that. But it seems like 75% of Californians now are lining up with that. And then this one, 68%. This one shouldn't be too surprising, especially out here in California on the West Coast. 68% believe that the government should do more to reduce the gap between the rich and the poor.
Andrew, we talked about, I think, in the open with the taxes. They're continually taxing everybody, and they are going to bring that economic gap down. What is going to happen to our great state and our country? The socialist point of view coming where everybody is one, it's not going to work. It never works anywhere. It cannot work here in our great state.
Well, obviously, guys, I mean, I'm going to say this. I love it, especially with my generation, my age coming in to my levels of success, hopefully here in the future. I love Donald Trump's tax plan right now that is being just hammered by certain groups out there about a $12 billion gap. Well, I look at that $12 billion gap right now as being a tax cut to us out here in California and people across this nation. I like that tax plan, but unfortunately, there's some bad news for all of us union guys out there and members of unions and public employees. Got to do a little union talk on this a little bit, something we've been pointing out for the longest time. You know, we've been crying that wolf for the longest time. We've been talking to you state employees. We've been talking to you out here in California about that wolf that is coming, that's knocking on our door. It's huffing, it's puffing. Well, guess what? Guess what it is puffing right now? Getting ready to blow your way, folks out there, all you state employees. 70% of Californians right now favor the modification of pensions for state and government employees. That is a huge turn of events. It has been happening for the last six election cycles. You know, Chuck Reed and his group down there, Democrats, by the way, all you guys, Democrats. It's the Democrats that are doing to all you anti-Republican state employees out there. It's the Democrats that are leading this charge against your future employment and retirement pension.
Well, they are, Andrew, and already in our industry where we work at, they've already have changed that. I'd be kind of curious to see how it's going to be worded. Is it going to be for everybody? Is it going to be just for new hires? The wording on that is going to be how it's going to be played out, you know, for all of us who are almost finished with our careers, who are counting on what we already have, we've had for the last 20 years. How is that going to affect us, Andrew?
Well, I practice what I preach. I've been preaching for the longest time. Hey, don't rely on it, you know.
That's right.
Take a look at other options out there. You know, eventually, this is not going to last at the level that we think it's going to last. I mean, good Lord, it was a nice run. We've pointed out the problems since day one. I mean, when we've got the pension plans, you know, afforded to us, we weren't making as much. And so as a result of all of a sudden, as a result, as I call it, because of term limits out here in California, which we've seen just the explosion of spending at a level and taxation at a level, all the organizations have gone and gotten that piece of the pie as a result of more spending, at more revenue needed, more taxes. And so guess what? The proverbial wolf is here. And guess what, folks? You know, I just don't know if we can stop it or if we can re-educate the individuals in California or plead our case at this point. But, man, the winds are in those sails and that ship. Who knows where it's going to go at
this
point. It
is, Andrew, and that's something that everybody here in California has to take a great deal of time, and they have to think about that because that's going to affect them, maybe even their children, and their future, what's happening in the great state of California.
All right, at the national level, I'm very concerned about Hillary Clinton right now taking a book out of Bill Clinton's page. What is the definition of the word is when it comes to, what was classified at the time?
Absolutely. And what do you got for us today, my friend?
All right, California, it's time for something you should know if you don't know. And across this nation, the year is 1608. Ready? Hans Lippershey applies the patent for the first known early telescope in the Netherlands. Wow, I love science.
Wow, absolutely.
A telescope that far back. Of course, 1789, George Washington transmits the proposed constitutional amendments, that is known as the United States Bill of Rights, to the states for ratification. Of course, 1835, the Battle of Gonzales fought between the Texan settlers and the Mexican forces. That was the first engagement of the Texas Revolution.
Absolutely. The 503 Report bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSUE. And you can catch a rebroadcast of our show anytime at crdailynews.com. Don't forget about our podcast on iTunes, The 503 Report, where America's voice is. We have a special guest in studio coming up right after the break. Keep it right here on 1240 KSUE, The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertz.
Thank you very much, Stan. Welcome back, everybody, to our favorite day of the week. It is Friday. It's the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Oh, yes, yes. It is Hillary Clinton using Bill Clinton's infamous, the definition of the word is when it comes to the words classified at the time when it comes to her emails. And of course, all you government employees up and down California, in particular with the state, the municipals, the counties, yes, the wolf that we've been saying is here. It is here. It's huffing, and it's blowing the fact that 70% of Californians now favor reforming your pension. So anyways, lots to talk about out here in California, lots to talk about, but before we get there, we're going to talk about a little bit of my favorite, college football. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voice is heard on iTunes.
Absolutely. And you can catch all our rebroadcasts, 4 years worth, on our podcast. That is great, Andrew.
You bet, man. We have a great guest in here, and we can't wait to get into the conversation with a great guest we have on the air. Real treat for you, folks. You guys know individuals in the studio with us that knows history. But first, man, let's talk a little bit about this big weekend in college football. I have to tell you, Ohio State, you know, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12. What makes this weekend so big, folks, up and down California and across this nation, is that now you have interconference play now. So some of these top 10 teams are going to be playing each other, and they have the potential of knocking each other out of top 10 ranking. Ohio State with Indiana. You never know how that's going to go. Michigan State now at Purdue. Ole Miss and Florida. You know, Florida made the top 25, being 3-0. I don't think Ole Miss is going to have a lot of problems. dealing with those guys, but the big ones, man. The
That's
big
right.
one
coming you got your up. Longhorns on today, buddy.
Oh, it's a long shot, but go Horns are taking on. Of course, number four, TCU. And the big game to watch right now is going to be this, Georgia versus Alabama, the SEC. These guys are going to go at it, and they got, like I said, they got the potential of knocking each other out. So, folks, you know, watch a lot of the college football if you can. And, of course, to all my Cowboy fans out there, man, just, I mean, what can you expect? I mean, you know, I mean, Wheaton did the best he could. He put 28 points up just like Tony Romo, but that Dallas Cowboy defense just blew it. So, I mean, as Cowboy fans, we all know we're the only team in the NFL that can score 30 and 40 points and actually lose the game.
Absolutely, Andrew. Very much. Thank you very much for the college football and pro football. I want to get to our guest right now. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. He's been here on the studio at 1240 KSHW. For a couple of days. He is a California Assembly, retired California Assemblyman, 18 years. Also recently retired president of the California Broadcasters Association. We can't thank him enough for coming in studio here today with us from Northeastern California, Chico area, Mr. Stan Statham. Stan, it's a pleasure having you here on the 503 Report. How are you today, my friend?
Well, it was my pleasure to be here, and I already told you off mic, I love you guys. You are radical, but I love you nonetheless.
Okay, now, speaking of radical, okay, you go back quite a ways in the California Assembly. We were talking about this in the first part of the show with Proposition 30, Proposition 13. You were a California Assemblyman back in 1976 when Prop 13 was voted in by two-thirds of California back in 1978. Do you recall, Stan, Prop 13, was it under attack after that like it has been in the last few years, like you've been,
the
you've been seeing?
Is no. What happened when it was invented, Prop 13 was created in the very late 1970s. And I actually met Howard Jarvis. What was happening at that time is property taxes were going through the roof. And so something radical have to happen. And Proposition 13 was supposed to have failed. It even had the opposition of the then governor, Jerry Brown. And then it passed overwhelmingly. And then Jerry Brown changed his position overwhelmingly in just a couple of months and kind of took credit for Prop 13. So for at least two or three decades, you don't touch Proposition 13. It's like biblical. Don't touch it because we're one of the highest tax states in the nation. Leave our property taxes alone. It's the only thing we really can own on this planet, some property. So leave that alone. I'm surprised that there's movement again to look at that. I mean, we have the split roll and we get money here, get money there. It's all a hoax as far as I'm concerned, because California is a major, not the number one, but in the top three taxed states in the nation. And California's government already has the money we have given it that it needs to do the right thing.
And they have had that for quite some time. And you mentioned a couple of great points in there. And Proposition 30, you know, did they have propositions entitled, you know, and with the kids, with education like they do now also? Because it seems like everything out there, Stan, is geared toward the kids. We let inmates go. We let prisoners go. Hmm. Well, it's for the kids. Yeah, we're saving the money for the – everything is for the kids these days.
Yeah, I don't believe it because, see, they're all major political issues and especially money issues. You want to protect the kids, don't you? Well, I have seen in my 40 years of following politics in Sacramento, I've seen our educational system reformed a minimum of six or seven times.
Wow.
And so when Proposition 30 passed, all of a sudden Jerry Brown's coming to be governor again, and he got a couple of million dollars from the unions to make sure that Proposition 30 passed. They just sold it like a Tide with improved bleach. You'll vote for Proposition 30. And so they did. And so then all of a sudden, the first couple of years of this term of Jerry Brown, he didn't have any trouble balancing the budget. Well, guess what? Proposition 13 brought him an additional $6 to $8, let's make it $7 billion, billion dollars. You could balance the budget, Tim, with $7 billion and make major improvements, and then California could rest easy for a while.
But we can't rest easy. That's
no, we
problem.
Don't. You know, I mean, we bring it up all the time. We've got these balanced budgets. We have these balanced budgets, and then come December, we're short going into January, February for the May revision. We just had a special session, as you know, Assemblyman, that you know, they tried to put this radical tax on vehicles and gasoline and try to do these radical admission. And now, speaking of radical, I mean, now since Governor Jerry Brown failed to get that through the California State Legislature, has made it publicly that he's going to go before the California Air Resource Board in order to try to implement a rule on the people out here in California that has already been rejected by the legislature. But these balanced budgets that we always talk about, you know, if I mean, good Lord, I should say on the record, most of our audience knows this. I mean, I hate term limits. I'm not a term limit guy. Mm-hmm. I think that if we take a pinpoint history at the conclusion of Governor Wilson, Pete Wilson out in California, which you served
all
with,
right.
You know, when he was no longer in office, we see this huge spike from a $40 to $50 billion budget balanced, actually kind of balanced, to this $115 billion expenditures in spending. So, I mean, these balanced budget issues, and I'm sure you've seen plenty of them, yeah. Having served with not just Governor Jerry Brown, but of course with Governor Duke Majian and of course Governor Pete Wilson.
Well, allow me to tell you an inside story of a relationship. Uh-oh. The only problem I've ever had with Pete Wilson, because when he was first elected as governor, everybody thought, well, here comes a moderate Pete Wilson, so we're going to get everything we want this time. And I was considered a moderate legislator. And so when Pete Wilson was elected, because government always spends more money than it's got, all of a sudden Governor Wilson had to come up with, $6 or $7 billion in cuts or tax increases. And so Pete Wilson did come up with a proposal that had some cuts, some revisions, but mostly new taxes. And so I was sitting on the assembly floor, and when the assembly sergeant comes over and said, Mr. Statham, the governor wants to talk to you. And so I said, thank you very much. They said, line two, the little phone booths off the assembly floor. So I got on line two. I said, Governor, this is Stan Statham. Yes, Stan, you can't hold out on this anymore. We're trying to balance the budget, and we need to pass our budget this year, blah, blah. So we talked for a while, and I said, I'll do my best. I appreciate your calling. I'll look at it one more time. And so then I didn't do anything because it was not balanced. If they do everything on a too optimistic proposal, so they're never going to get what they think they're going to get. So where's the emergency fund? Where's all that kind of money? And so then 10 days went by, I'm say 7 or 10 days went by, and all of a sudden, Mr. Statham, the governor's on the line again for you. And so I got on the line, I said, Governor, I'm having some difficulty. Stan, today you got to fish or cut bait. And you know, I know I'm rural, but I don't fish. and I said, well, Governor, maybe you could help me, because there's one question that I can't seem to answer. All right, what's your question? And Pete was really getting quite impatient. And so my question is this, if I vote for that today, later this, early next week, I'm going to be talking to the Red Buff Rotary Club. And what I need you to tell me is, I know we're reforming some things, but we're greatly increasing the taxes. What shall I tell the Red Buff Rotary Club that we got for the $4 or $6 billion in new taxes? And he hung up on me. We didn't talk for a year and a half, and he found somebody else to vote. Because matter of fact, he didn't exactly come up. I remember his voice saying, Stan, do what you have to do.
You know, it's a familiar story. I mean, we've just seen this story just here recently, a couple election cycles ago, with certain assemblymen in the state legislature here in California actually agreed with Governor Jerry Brown in the first temporary taxes. As far as when they were just a budgetary piece of legislation rather than the Proposition 30 that we now know as it is. And as a result, you're absolutely right, sir. I mean, they lean on these guys as far as we need this. But up here in Northern California, we're not hearing it, you know, for the most part. We're not hearing an additional tax increase so that we can solve the problems of Southern California.
You know, right now, Jerry Brown, in his fourth term, he's got about 400 bills, proposals on his desk. And last time he had about 700 proposals on his desk, and he vetoed 300 and signed into law 400. So I'm here to tell you that as of a year ago, California got 400 brand new laws. What were they thinking? California is so overtaxed, so overregulated, so overlawed, we don't need any more control. We need reform and revision. Hold the line.
We've been talking about that for 4 years. Just let Stan Statham here on the 503 Report, Andrew.
Well, it's great. You know, most people think or hear me say that I believe and think sometimes I'm a political historian. And I think as a result of term limits, we've lost the edge as far as political history, as far as legislative history. And as a result, we're starting to see things implemented out here in the state of California that once upon a time we used to say no to. You know, the proverbial, well, how do you want to pay for this? Guess what? It has now turned into the fact that we're paying way too much for services that we may need, not need, or just aren't doing what they're supposed to do.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, with special in-studio guest, Stan Statham. The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSV or Sierra Broadcasting, and brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California and the rest of this nation, time for something you may not know, but you definitely should know. The year is 1967. Thurgood Marshall is sworn in as the first black Supreme Court justice. The year is 1985. Russian party leader Gorbachev visits Paris. That was his first trip abroad. And, of course, you know, one could argue that was the point in history that a lot of motion began that maybe led up to this. 1990, Radio Berlin International's final transmission. The song, The Day Is Ended by the Doors, was actually placed. And, of course, you know, folks, we say it all the time, things you should know. But I have to tell you, thanks to our guest right now, he's going to tell you things you should know. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voice is heard on iTunes.
Absolutely. And with us in studio is 18-year, nine-term California Assemblyman and recently retired president of the California Broadcast Association, Stan Statham from the Chico area. And Stan, once again, thank you so very much for taking time out and coming up here and joining the 503 Report.
This is a lot of fun for me because I have the political virus and I'm not going to lose it. And I'm sitting here listening to Mr. Wellborn emphasize the word temporary, and I just passed along to him in that quick break that we had. The word temporary, when used by government, is a bunch of crapola. Nothing is temporary when government starts it, and it takes a major revolution to change or reform or to pull back government. We got plenty of government, more government than we would ever need.
And we talk about with our guests Brian Dolley and Doug LaMalfa here, Assemblyman and a United States Congressman, about just those things, and you've read along those lines as well. We talk about, and you said before in our last segment, 400 new bills we got in California. Brian Dolley's been preaching on this for the last 4 years that we have enough. We don't need any more. Too many regulations here.
I know Brian, and I know Doug, and I visited them in both their offices and their personal friends. We have a couple of fine representatives in Congressman Doug LaMalfa, who somebody in Reading the other day told me, I don't call him LaMalfa, I call him Doug LaMafia. Well, very, very clever. So that's obviously not one of Doug's supporters. But they're doing a great job, and I've had lunch with Doug, and I've had lunch with Brian. We see each other on a regular basis because, yes, I'm out of politics, Tim, but I promise you I'm never going to get out of politics. It's too important.
It absolutely is, and I want to go back to something that we haven't talked about yet. And when you were president, I believe, of the Broadcasters Association, did you host the debate with then-candidate Schwarzenegger?
I call it the debate of the accents, Arnold and Ariana, and that was a kick. Can I tell you?
Absolutely. Mike is yours.
Remember, there's a comedian, Dennis Miller, the comedian. Yes. Well, Dennis Miller is a close friend of Arnold and Maria. Now, Arnold and Maria are not close friends anymore, but Dennis Miller is. And so he actually wrote, they knew that Ariana Huffington was coming directly after Arnold Schwarzenegger, because how are you going to beat the Terminator without de-gutting him? And so Dennis Miller actually thought up four sound bites. Now, stand by, Arnold. because Ariana's coming after you. Memorize these. He's an actor, and he's not a stupid man anyway. I got to know him pretty well. And so he actually used the four sound bites, and we're about an hour and 10 minutes into the 90-minute debate, and I'm the moderator. What a pleasure that was. And all of a sudden, Ariana to my left and Arnold to my right, they won't even stop talking. They can't. Well, since I came from radio, I said, somehow I got to control this. And so I said, I moved the microphone closer, and I said, candidates. And they just shut up and both looked at me, and I thought to myself, now what am I going to do? And so I said, Ms. Huffington, I've been listening closely, and I'm going to take a moderator's purview and indicate that what you just said was a personal attack. And so I will allow Mr. Schwarzenegger to respond. And bam, just like that, Arnold looked at her and he said, Ariana, I have a part for you. I think you should be in part of Terminator 4. Because he's going to wipe her out in Terminator 4.
That was going to do it. Stan Statham is here with us, the Assemblyman. And Stan, tell us a little bit about your 18 years in government. You said in your bio that you had to fight the budgets for 18 years. Was it as bad as that, going out there and fighting for the money and trying to get it balanced and keep it that way for the public?
Well, you know, I'm not very partisan. I was the assistant Republican leader, but not the world's best Republican. And by the way, I'd be a lousy Democrat, but I'm always in the middle of that. And none of the budgets, nothing happens. They just can't operate like a business. And California is not a business. It's a nation state. It's much more than a business. And so you're fighting it all the time. The tragic thing you have to remember about politics, California is owned and operated by the Democrats. Like the beautiful state of Hawaii is owned and operated by Democrats. It's just the way it is. That's one of the reasons I had such a failed attempt when I ran for lieutenant governor, because my memory tells me I lost.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very good experience. You know, I had a private meeting with Gavin Newsom about a year ago, and you know, Gavin can hardly wait for Jerry Brown to using oxygen, because Gavin wants to make sure that all gays are married to one another, and he wants cannabis sativa legalized immediately. So he is, I wouldn't call him a communist, because there are only communists anymore, so let's just call him a socialist, shall we?
We shall.
We use those words all the time, communists and socialists, but you know, you said that we're the radicals in here, but let's talk about let's talk about something you tried to do back in 1992 that's been going on, I don't know, since the Civil War out here in California. And of course, you know, we almost successfully did it, if not for the Civil War, the Great War of the States, part of our U.S. history, and then of course in World War II stopped it again. And now in 1992 you came very close to actually splitting the state of California.
You know, I surprised myself, because that was like, I think, exactly 22 or 23 years ago, and I got so tired of Sacramento not working, I introduced a bill to divide California into two states, North and South, and then I was about half a dozen votes short. And so I thought, and even my staff recommended against it. And I said, well, we have more population than the entire country of Canada. Let's go to three states, because smaller states, Idaho, Wyoming, North Dakota, they're healthier than California. What's the matter with us? We got the weather, so let's do that and better manage ourselves. We can just, nothing the matter with starting over. And then I used an example that my wife said, please don't use that example anymore, because they constantly use the example of marriage. And I pointed out that in California today, most marriages don't last more than 10 years. And very frankly, divorce is a horrible thing. So my wife and I, we never use the D word. We have used unsatisfactory words talking to each other, but we don't use the D word. However, she's more than acceptable. I want to retain her for the rest of my life. However, if she was a total socialist, I mean, what's the point? I mean, you know, I can start over. You know, there are 3.3 billion males that want 3.3 billion females. They have us outnumbered, but, you know, they're becoming the breadwinners. And I don't know, I'd like to give Bill and Hillary some up couples counseling.
You know, you left the assembly, sir, right on the eve of actually myself becoming a little bit more involved, especially out here in California, starting to come up through our local ranks with local political parties and actually getting to know, you know, the members of the California State Assembly, the California State Senate on the Republican side. Everybody knows I'm a Republican. I've been part of the Republican Party, you know, since I don't know how long.
Very nice shirt.
Thank you very much. You know, I'm wearing two colors here. Yeah. Too bad people can't hear. I got my Republican elephant and my Texas Longhorns right here at the same time. But, you know, over the years, you know, you mentioned a number earlier about the budget, that $6-8 billion. And for some reason, it seems like that $6-8 billion has been a consistent number for a shortfall for the last almost 20 years, especially since back when I first got involved with politics out here in the state of California.
Well, you know, a little bit of history. When I was very first elected in 1976, and I was a television newscaster, and I'll be going to be very frank, I was not qualified to be a member of the California Assembly, but since, you know, Tim and Andrew had not circulated any naked pictures of me, and I'd been on TV at 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock. So it was a Democrat district owned by Pauline Davis, and represented by, I should say. And I won overwhelmingly because, you know, there's been some studies that have been done, not by PPIC, but studies have been done. If you're on radio or you're on television, people know two things. One, they know you're intelligent, or you wouldn't be on radio and TV. And two, they know you're important, or you wouldn't be there. That's us, right?
Well, I appreciate you saying that we're intelligent, so I'm going to take that. I'm not sure all the listeners out there, but you know what?
I got a few people who would dispute that. I'll tell you that right now.
When I was first elected in 76, I was panicked out because I'd read the B every morning and try to stay up on I'd stay up late at night and read bills, and I'm not a lawyer, so that was a difficult task.
Oh, my.
But then all of a sudden, my very first year in the California legislature, the budget was short by $73 billion. Gentlemen, that's petty cash. Or did I say billion?
Million?
I meant million.
Okay.
$73 million, and that's petty cash in today's California government. I mean, it really is. As a matter of fact, even to run for the California Assembly now can cost, in fundraising and expenses, up to $1 million. I had the highest campaign financing in 76 when I ran. I actually managed to raise, over a one-year period, $108,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And and my opponent had $131,000, and I won overwhelmingly because wherever I went, people would say two things. And television really did put me there because they'd say two things. They'd call me by my first name, and they'd say, "Stan, I just want to shake your hand. It's a pleasure to meet you. By the way, I had no idea you were this tall," because we're all the same size on TV. So that did it. And then I learned a lot more about government, and now I have a love-hate relationship with government.
Stan, you said Stan Statham, former California Assemblyman, is here with us and recently retired president of the California Broadcasters Association. And you were just here, and you said you won overwhelmingly. Do you see a change on the horizon anytime soon? Because you were talking earlier, Stan, that California and Hawaii are overwhelmingly Democrat. The way we keep allowing taxes to be placed upon us, is there going to come a time, do you foresee that at all, where people are going to say enough is enough, like when Prop 13 was passed in 1978?
Well, I'm hoping so because, you know, some of the candidates, I'm watching all these debates and the Democrat debates coming up in less than 2 weeks.
Yes.
And so it's the you know, Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina and Ben Carson, they hate government like you guys. They hate government. They just want to get in there and use a whole bunch of common sense. And so I'm going to publish this book called Reclaim California. I have 43,000 words written. I'm planning on publishing it hopefully later this year, which is almost out. It's called Reclaim California, and the front cover of the book has a picture of California divided, and I did it for media purposes, the way I'm dividing it, but it would work also. California in two states would be a coastal state and an inland state. Suddenly you would have a Democrat state on the coast and a Republican state inland, which would help make America more ideologically balanced. And by the way, if you divide California, and if it ever happens, I think it should be divided in that fashion on the San Andreas Fault. The reason it becomes so media savvy is because it's important that we reform government. Is Mother Nature going to beat us, or can we do it?
That should have been a soundbite for the end of the show right there, but that was great. The Mother Nature, you can't fool around with Mother Nature.
No, that will be, that's nonfiction, by the way. That's going to happen.
That's going to happen.
Let's do the big one before the big one.
Oh, my goodness. You're absolutely right. You know, I mean, you know, I think most of the resistance that we hear out here in California, especially today's generation. I mean, I've been out here in California for, good Lord, almost 2.5 decades now of my life. And one of the biggest things, it's kind of like, you know, being a Texan. You know, I'm a Texan. You know, I was born and raised in Texas. Even though California is now my home and I do everything I can to operate out here and to be successful out here, because, you know, California, quite frankly, I remember once I was in the airport getting ready to go somewhere, and I ran into a man from Ireland. He had the thickest Irish accent, and he was talking to me. I was really, really young, brand new in California, and he made the statement to me, I'm going back to Ireland. And I was like, well, because I'm done with California. I had enough of California. Mm. And I was just like, well, why? He goes, California is a young man's game. You know, you can come out to California, be successful, but I'm made my fortune. Now I'm going back home, and I'm going to live the rest of my days in my home nation of Ireland. And, you know, that's you know, being a Texan, being an Irishman, being a Californian, I think that the movement to split the state would be better off if they dropped the name Jefferson and actually focus on whether it be Eastern California, Western California, Northern California, Southern California.
So do I. And the only thing we really need is a can-do attitude. It mm-hmm. occurred before, you know, four states have divided within their boundaries. There are rules for it, and presidents and governors have nothing to do with mm-hmm. that. And we can do it by ourselves. If it gets enough publicity and things start to roll, it could go across the finish line, since it almost did in 1942.
And now, quickly before we go to break, and we are going to be back with Stan Statham for another 15-minute segment here, but it wasn't called the State of Jefferson. Kind of, that's what it is right now. It was just you wanted to split the states. I want to get right. that kind of on the
yeah,
record and make
yeah,
sure.
I'd heard of the State of Jefferson, but I hadn't been properly educated on it. And now I had Oregon Public Broadcasting traveled from Portland to Reading 3 months ago to interview me at length for a public service documentary that I just got the first copy of. And they did a wonderful job in the history of the State of Jefferson, all the way up the Japanese attack and all that, up to comments by me when I tried to do something similar.
We are lucky to have former California State Assemblyman for 18 years and recently retired president of the California Broadcasters Association, Stan Statham. And he is local, and Chico's only a couple hours away from where we broadcast from, but he is from our area. He represented us in the assembly. And if you don't mind, maybe we can take a call or two on the next segment. Some folks might want to have a question for you. You're listening to KSUE Susanville. Folks, this is an expanded edition of the 503 Report here on KSUE Susanville. You can check us out on our website, the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. The podcasts are on iTunes as well, and this is going to be a hot one that's going to be coming up about an hour or so after the show. When we download, you can catch it back on the SierraDailyNews.com. Stan Statham with us here in studio, 257-TALK, and out of the area, it's on us at 1-866-882-1277. If you want to join the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, we're going to take a break for the news, and we'll be back until a quarter after with former Assemblyman Stan Statham right here on KSUE.